This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we begin our adventure in the Acts of the Apostles, starting off with the Ascension, then devoting themselves to prayer, Matthias chosen, Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit, and Joel's prophecy. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Today, in our modern world, we confuse tolerance with truth.
The commitment to population control and to the reduction of human population would be the most widely shared goal of the top leaders of the world's largest environmental organizations.
When we talk about how Christian nationalists use biblical texts, similar to what goes on with Marxists, they rip passages out of context and kind of weave them together as part of their political narrative.
There is no better evangelism tool you have than the Apostles and Nicene Creed. These give you the words you need to confess the saving faith to others.
Librarians in Michigan love listening to Issues, etc. And then God's children lived happily ever after. The end.
How we regard the weak and the disabled says a lot about how we view the entire world, our own humanity, and the humanity of others. There have been ideologies that have ruled entire empires where the profoundly disabled were considered less than human. They were considered a life not worth living. Well, obviously, that runs counter to everything in Christianity. So how should Christians understand those profoundly disabled, one of the greatest and most lethal disabilities and birth abnormalities is found in anencephalotic children? Greetings and welcome back to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about anencephalotic children with Pastor Jonathan Lang, and then we'll spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. There's a religion news service story that appeared in the Washington Post titled, "There's a Reason Every Hit Worship Song Sounds the Same." We'll get Brian's thoughts on that. Pastor Jonathan Lang is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming, and Our Savior Lutheran in Evanston, Wyoming. He's leader of the Wyoming Pastors Network and author of a column for The Federalist titled, "In Their Short Lives, Anencephalotic Children Give and Receive Love Like the Rest of Us." Pastor Lang, welcome back.
It's good to be back. Thank you so much.
What is this condition, anencephaly?
It's a developmental disorder that happens very early in the child's development in the first couple of weeks of gestation. And what they call the neural tube fails to close on the top, which essentially means he's missing the cranium. And without the cranium, there's no scalp. Without the scalp, there's nothing to cover the developing brain. And so that means the brain is developing for the whole life of the child in direct exposure to the amniotic fluid, and it causes a lot of brain damage, and so there's very little viable brain tissue. So that's the condition in a nutshell.
Do we know what causes this?
Not to my knowledge. I'm not a doctor, but from my reading, nobody's quite sure. There seems to be some minor correlation with folic acid. When the mother is taking additional folic acid, there is definitely a correlation that there are more Hispanics that have the condition than not, and there's far more girls that are born with encephaly than there are boys. But other than that, nobody seems to know what causes it.
How have the views on anencephalic children changed over time?
Well, they've always been valued by their parents, I suppose, just because of normal humanity. But especially in the last, well, I think it was about 1986, that the last medical textbook used to still call them anencephalic monsters. That was simply common across the textbook scene. But that changed in 1986, and it was actually sparked by a midwife who helped the mother give birth to an anencephalic, and as she was researching how to help with the process and so forth, she ran across this terminology and was just appalled and wrote a letter to the editors of the textbook. And her letter was received, and they changed the language in the next edition, and I don't think you find it in textbooks anymore. So that's a real positive development.
What is the typical prognosis?
Well, unfortunately, once the child is born and the brain is now exposed not to amniotic fluid but directly to the air, the prognosis is very grim. It's the most lethal of all birth defects, and most children die within the first day. There's a few that live for 1 to 5 days, but beyond that, it's pretty grim.
There is an exception. Tell us a story about the longest surviving an encephalic child, Angela Morales.
Yeah, Angela Morales, and she's not the only one to survive in the order of years, but her mother was diagnosed while she was still in utero, I think at the 16th week of pregnancy, and they were able to see by ultrasound that she was developing with anencephalic symptoms. And the medical community, as they are wont to do, pressured them into an abortion, and they said no. They chose to care for the child for as long as God would give them, and made arrangements for the day of her birth to have a priest present to baptize her immediately. And so, thank God that she survived the birth process. Many anencephalic children don't. But she survived the birth process and was baptized into the kingdom of God. And so they then began to shower her with love, expecting fully that she would be gone from them within the hour. But that hour passed, and she survived. And then more hours passed, and they had a full day with her. And then the days added up, and they had a full week with her. And before long, they were able to take her home from the hospital. And just took it day by day, and she continued to grow and develop, and she lived almost just a couple of days shy of 3 years and 9 months, and fell asleep in Jesus on December 16th. That's a story in a nutshell of about the longest surviving. Like I say, there were some others who survived on the order of a couple of years, but that's pretty rare.
Why is our usual reaction to the birth of an encephalic child misguided?
Well, it's misguided because we're thinking about the wrong things. First of all, we're thinking about ourselves more than the child, or perhaps we're thinking about the pain and suffering of the parents more than the child. And then worst of all, even when we are thinking about the pain and suffering of either the child or the parents, we are projecting our own horrors and fears on their lives rather than seeing their lives as gifts from God. So that's, I guess, where I would come down and say it's to see life as a gift, both a gift to the parents and as a gift to the child. It's when we meditate on that that we can begin to see anencephalic children as God sees them.
So, go into a little more detail, if you would. How should we rightly regard them?
Well, when we regard them as a gift from God, then the first thing is we recognize that the parents are being given this incredible gift of love. And rather than pity the parents who have been given these, we should rejoice with them and come alongside them, especially as they mourn the fact that more often than not, they will only get to see their child for less than a day. But we should support them in their love throughout the time in the womb and be there to support them both as a church and as individuals on the day of the birth of the child. And rather than trying to take away their pain preemptively as the medical community counsels death, we should rather support them to receive the gift in its fullest as God gives life. But I think that one thing that is also missing is in a lot of our prenatal life discussions is thinking about the experiences of the child, him or herself, And that's what really struck me and one of the things I wanted to write about in this article. It's just think about what God gives to the unborn child to experience. Because with or without a birth defect, that unborn child is still experiencing the love of his mother. He's hearing heartbeat. He's smelling her smells. He's feeling her rhythms. And occasionally hearing the father's voice, but does not ever get to be held by the father unless he comes to the day of birth. And that's what I was thinking about, especially with baby Angela and the gift that she received by being brought to a birth, being able to be held by her dad, being able to be baptized by her father in heaven, received into the kingdom of God. All of these gifts that God gives to us in time and through progression, we should be thinking about giving these gifts to each and every children.
So back to Angela Morales, what can we learn from her short life?
Well, we are given as human beings the gift of love. And oftentimes in this mechanical world, we think about what human beings can do and not do in terms of being able to manipulate the world around them. But we as Christians, I think especially, have something to give to the world to teach them that no, what humans were created to do fundamentally is to receive love and to give love. That's simply what we do. And it's when we are meditating on that that we can be most fully human and receive people as most fully human. I don't know if I'm sure that you've done plenty of interviews on this, but I could not help but thinking about this wonderful book by Edna Hong, The Bright Valley of Love, especially its closing pages, as you know, you have the forces of Nazism trying to kill, trying to evaluate people according to their utility. And then on the other hand, you have the force of the Bright Valley of Love, who is teaching us that we are given to be loved and to love. And that is where God gives us our value. And that's what makes us truly human, is the loving as well as being loved. So that's what she teaches me. I don't think I'll ever be the same now after having learned her story, and she now gave me an opportunity to be more human than I have been. So I thank God for Angela's short life, because she still touches people's hearts even still today.
Pastor Jonathan Lang is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming, and Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming. He's leader of the Wyoming Pastors Network and author of a column for The Federalist titled In Their Short Lives, Anencephalic Children Give and Receive Love Like the Rest of Us. You can read it on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Lang, thank you.
Thank you so much. It's always good to be on your program, and thanks for calling me.
Lutherans for Life equips Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through the 13th in Cincinnati. The conference includes trips to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. Find out more at lutheransforlife.org, lutheransforlife.org. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller will be with us on the other side of the break to respond to a religion news service story titled, There's a Reason Every Hit Worship Song Sounds the Same.
You can call it what you like.
How do you respond to the assertion, I like Jesus, but I'm not sure about the church? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Gathered by Christ, the Overlooked Gift of the Church. Learn more about this new resource at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Gathered by Christ, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.